16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on, the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Okay, did that seem a little abrupt to you? The way that gospel ended? You see, if you read the other gospels, you would know that in the book of John, after the empty tomb, Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene, the disciples, Thomas. There's the miraculous catch of fish, the reinstating of Peter. That's how you end a story, right? That's the glory of the resurrection. In the book of Matthew, we learn of lightning and earthquakes and angels, and Jesus gives the Great Commission, words that we still live by today and prioritize in our churches. In the book of Luke, they find the empty tomb, and then Jesus meets with disciples on the Emmaus Road before appearing to all of them. And then in the last few verses of the book of Luke, Jesus ascends to heaven in glory. And then there's Mark. They found an empty tomb. There was a strange man there, dressed in white, who told them the tomb is empty. And that's it. Where'd Jesus go? Thomas Long called this the dangling gospel. Yes, it's probably in my top five most irreverent sermon titles that I've ever come up with. Thomas Long calls this the dangling gospel. He says, if Mark truly ended his narrative here, he seems to have concluded by deliberately not concluding, by dangling something incomplete and unsatisfying before the reader in the final verse. Now, I know what a couple of you are saying. You're saying, "Jeremy, I have my Bible open, and there are more verses after this." You're saying, you see Jesus appear to Mary Magdalene and to the disciples, and Jesus commissions the disciple in the ascension. But scholars across the board believe these verses were added at some point later on. Doesn't mean they didn't happen. But in Mark's original gospel, there is consensus that the gospel was ended in this kind of incomplete sort of way. David Lowe says, let's imagine then that Mark knew exactly what he was doing. Let's say this wasn't a grammatical mistake or Mark somehow dropped dead in the middle of writing this passage. Let's say that Mark knew what he was doing. He said that he crafted an incomplete ending by design, that he left the story hanging on this moment of failure and disappointment for a reason. Why would he do that? I mean, really, every year when we come back and we read the Gospel of John or the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke, there's these great ways that it ends, but then there's this sense of incompleteness in the Gospel of Mark and his account. If I had to take a guess, I would say it might be something like watching a television show that has ended the season. Most of my TV watching these days consists of Sesame Street, Octonauts, Thomas the Train, and the Great British Baking Show. That is what's on television in our house, if it is on. But one of the things I most appreciate and most dread about a good TV series is when a season ends with unresolved tension. You know what I'm talking about? We get to April and we get to May. The season's been going on for a while. And then we get to the final episode, the season finale, and they leave so much hanging, don't they? Like at the end of season 2 of The Office, when Jim and Pam kissed, what would happen when we came back for season 3? Or in Game of Thrones season 5, did Jon Snow really die? Okay, we're getting a little more specific here. In season 3 of Star Trek, did Captain Picard really become a Borg? There are so many glossy looks on your faces after I'm reading this. In season 1 of West Wing, was President Bartlett assassinated? We don't know. We've got to wait till season 2. Let's draw everybody in here for the most important television question of all time. Who shot J.R.? I could care less. I've never seen an episode, but I'm guessing you have. Today is Resurrection Sunday. It's the culmination, the most important day on our calendar as Christians. The empty tomb is why we have hope beyond hope. The empty tomb is why followers of Jesus Christ, upon our baptism, proclaim that we are raised to new life in Christ as we come out of the water. I am so glad that you are here today to hear that good news. Some of you, perhaps for the 90th time, some of you for the 50th time, some maybe for the 10th time, some of you are perhaps in this room hearing for the first time the good news that though he was nailed to a cross and bore the sins of the world, today he is risen from the grave. That is the message today. That is why we are here. It's why we actually gather every Sunday. Yes, today on Easter, we focus in on the empty tomb, but in many ways, every Sunday is a little Easter. Every Sunday is celebrating the new life we have in Jesus Christ. But if you only read Mark's gospel, if that was the only gospel we had and we didn't have these verses that may have been added later on, or perhaps if we ignored the rest of the New Testament, you might find yourself at a series finale, right? You might be asking, is that it? Is that what's supposed to happen? What's next? Where'd Jesus go? Seeing an empty tomb is great, but what's next? What comes next in the story? Short as Mark's gospel is and abrupt as this resurrection story might be, I think he does give us the answer where Jesus is gone. The man at the tomb, the mysterious figure that we don't really know much about, said he is going ahead of you to Galilee. It's almost like Jesus had no desire to hang around at the empty tomb. Like he didn't want to sit there and wait for people to get there. It's like he had more to do. It's like he had more to tell. It's like he had more to proclaim in light of his own resurrection. It's almost like the empty tomb isn't the end of the story. It's more like a series premiere. It's the beginning of the world without end. Church, is it enough today that we simply gather in this place on Easter Sunday and say the tomb is empty, he is risen? Is that enough for us? Does the story end there? We affirm these truths together. We read them in the scripture. We confess them, we sing them, we pray them, not just today, but every Sunday. But like Mark, we should feel unsettled to stay here. We should feel like we need to move on. We should understand that this is not the only place we speak of or show resurrection. In fact, it's up for us to go forth from this place and dangle this gospel of hope to all who we encounter in a world that is so desperate to hear good news. And so we ultimately have two options. You have the chance to go forth from this place and as a follower of Christ proclaim the tomb is empty, he is risen. You can proclaim it with your words, you can proclaim it with your actions. And I suppose we could go about our lives forgetting the special nature of Easter Sunday or this Resurrection Day. We could return to creating or sharing disparaging Facebook posts. We could return to looking at those who were different from us as inferior or less than. We could return and get caught up even more in our Democrat or Republican gospels. We could continue to be careless in purchasing items that are harmful to ourselves or harmful to others. We could go forth and shake our heads and be dismissive of this lost young generation in the world. We could walk by the blind, the lame, the poor, and the powerless, the widow, the orphan, and we could say, work harder. Find a way to get yourself out of that pit. Or, church, we could go from this place and find every opportunity to dangle this gospel of hope before our neighbors to where it is so present and so hopeful and so life-changing that it cannot be ignored. So you could make your Facebook wall, if you're into that kind of thing, or Twitter, or Instagram, or Snapchat, or whatever you use. You could use that a vehicle of compassion, or justice, or joy, or peacemaking. You know what? You would stand out in the crowd. If that were your approach to social media, and people could not ignore this gospel of hope that you dangle in front of them. We could go from this place not just being nice to those who are different, because friends, most people are nice. But we could listen and we could advocate for and we could seek to protect those who are different, and no one could ignore this gospel of love and inclusivity. We could go forth from this place and allow our bank accounts to echo resurrection. Not to purchase or sell items that contribute to exploitation of those in this country or around the world, but to invest in that which brings life and health to communities in Black Mountain and across the globe. We could go forth and show respect for and admiration for a young generation. We are constantly asking in this church, how can we better connect with young people? Young people who are begging the church to pursue righteousness and authenticity and mission, and who are seeking to be involved in churches that are truly making a difference. We can and will be that church. And we know that through that, seeds of resurrection will be planted. We can make the least of these among us, those who are hungry and thirsty, naked, homeless, vulnerable, and abused. We can make them the priority of our church rather than being an afterthought. Jesus goes ahead of us from this place. The resurrection is not the end of the Christian story. It is simply the beginning of why we are here. Let's pray together.